Hallelujah. Thank you, gentlemen, all gentlemen and lady. Praise God. The Lord is good. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Is he good to you all the time? Amen. He's good to everybody all the time. Some people don't receive it, but he's always good. We are so thankful for his mercy, his tender mercy and tender kindness toward us all. Glory to God. And we're glad that you're here on a Wednesday night. Got a little warmer weather toward the middle of the week here. Glory to God. They predicted snow for this Saturday, but they've already changed that about an hour ago. So they predicted it. Huh? You've been praying against it all day. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Well, and we're glad that you're with us online. This is our adult Bible study, and we're excited to get in some good things, maybe a message that we'll go for two or three sessions on what I'm calling the truth, what's right, and faith. Praise God. The truth, what's right, and faith. So we'll begin in John chapter 18, verse 33. Now this is Jesus, right before he's crucified on the cross, where the Jewish leaders took him before Pilate. And so in chapter 18, verse number 33, it says, then Pilate entered the praetorium. That just simply means his headquarters, you know, where his headquarters was. So Pilate entered the praetorium and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to them, what is truth? Amen. Jesus talked about the truth, and Pilate, I think it's the Amplified Bible, says, Pilate scornfully said, what's truth? Pilate cynically said, he scornfully said, what's the truth? In other words, Jesus is talking about truth, and Pilate's going, what's the truth? You don't know the truth, man. I don't know the truth. Nobody knows the truth. You know, what's truth? And so Pilate is saying there is no absolute truth. Who knows what truth is? And different people have different ideas about what the truth is. And so in other words, Pilate didn't believe that anybody could claim to know the truth. He didn't have a certain set of beliefs that guided his understanding of what was right and what was wrong. In other words, that's what we call a moral compass. Pilate didn't have a moral compass. He just did what he felt was best for him, or did what kept him in the good graces of the people because he had to, or what kept him in the good graces of Rome. Had no moral compass. He didn't care what was right. He didn't care what was wrong. And he didn't know what the truth was. So Pilate, like many before him and like many today, didn't believe in absolute truth. He believed that truth was relative. What does that mean? Well, amen, relative truth says truth varies based on the context. It varies based on your perspective. It varies based on your own circumstances and experiences. And it varies based on moral, present tense, moral, you know, cultures and values. But absolute truth says certain standards of right and wrong and certain statements or facts are unchanging and are valid and are always true. Glory to God. And the Bible, of course, teaches absolute truth. The truth never changes. And the truth is personified in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the truth. What he says is the truth. And what he says in the Bible is always right. See, the truth is always right. If it's right, it's because it's based on truth. And right here in verse number 37, before Pilate mockingly said, I don't know what the truth is. Who knows the truth? What's truth? Jesus said, I came that I should bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Well, that would be his words. Amen. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So Jesus said, I come to bear witness to the truth. That means I came to testify of the truth. Or in other words, I came to show you what the truth is. And everyone who is of the truth, everyone who loves the truth, everybody who follows the truth, everybody who wants to know what the truth is, hears my voice. They hear my words, which are the truth. Glory to God. So the Passion Translation says, I have come into this world to prove what truth really is, and everyone who loves the truth and receives my, and everyone who loves the truth will receive my words, because his words are truth. Another translation says, whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice. Other translations say, those who belong to the truth or who believe in the truth listen to me. And then just a page back in your Bible in John 17:7. Glory to God. 17:17 rather. Amen. Jesus speaking here, talking about the Father. He says, sanctify them by your truth. And then he says, your word is truth. Everybody say, God's word is truth. God's word is the truth. Amen. So what God says, what Jesus says, what the Bible says, they all three agree, of course. What God says, what Jesus says, what the Bible says is the truth. You know, I like, there's so many scriptures along these lines, but Psalms 119 and 160 says, King James Version says, your word is true from the beginning. But I really like it in the New King James, Psalms 119 and 160, it says, the entirety of your word is truth. Glory to God. And then the Amplified Bible, can we put that up there? John, Psalms 119, 160. Psalms 119, 160. Other translations say, all your words are true, or the sum total of your word is true. Glory to God. And then from the New King James, the entirety of your word is true, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The Amplified Bible says, glory to God. There it is. Suddenly, magically, miraculously. Hallelujah. No? Anybody have an Amplified Bible? You probably all have the Amplified Classic. Anyway, it says something good about the truth. The entirety of his word is the truth. Glory to God. Can you say other? There it is. Praise God. The sum of your words is truth. The full meaning of all. His word is the truth. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so a lot of scriptures throughout the Word of God, I've got listed all kind here we're not going to look at, but there are many, 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 many scriptures that say that God's statutes, his commandments, his words, glory to God, are true, are right, and pure, and reliable. You can rely on God's Word. You can trust God's Word. You can believe God's Word. God's words, what he says about your marriage, what he says about your children, what he says about your finances, what he says about your health, what he says about your mind, what he says about any subject is always right. It's always true. Glory to God. And so Psalms 33:4 says, for the word of the Lord, this is just an example, for the Lord, word of the Lord is right. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is pure. Glory to God. Now, with that background, let's look at a familiar scripture. You're still probably in John 17. Turn back to John 8. John 8. Very familiar to us. John 8. Then verse 31. John 8, 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word. That means if the word, you know, if you abide somewhere, that's where you live. That's where you dwell. You don't come and go. You live there. You know, I live on where I live. You live where you live. That's where you reside. You abide there. Glory to God. So if you abide in my word, in other words, if you really know what the word of God says, not just what somebody told you it said, not just what you think it said, but if you know what it actually says and you believe what it says and you live by what it says and you practice what it says in daily life, if you really believe my word, if you abide in my word, verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Glory to God. You could say, when you know my words, you know the truth. See, because the words truth and word are interchangeable because his words are the truth. And so when you know the truth, when you know the word of God, you know the truth. So when you know his words, you know the truth, and the truth, the word of God, will set you free. Glory to God. On the other hand, people who don't know the word of God, they don't know what the Word of God says about a particular area of their life, you know, and so they lack knowledge. Those kind of people, they can't walk in the light of the truth. They don't know what the truth is. They don't believe the truth because they don't know what the truth is. Those kind of people can be deceived. And those kind of people suffer things unnecessarily. In other words, they suffer, but they don't have to suffer. They suffer unnecessarily. And they do without things that are needed and desired, and they are held in bondage simply because they have no knowledge of the truth. And of course, you know these scriptures in the Old Testament. God said, my people, not the world, but my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. And then in Isaiah 5:13, he says, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Well, a lack of knowledge or no knowledge or knowledge of the wrong thing. See, sometimes what people say, well, I know that, but what they know is wrong. See, that's a lack of knowledge. Or they don't even know what the Word of God says. So a lack of knowledge or no knowledge or wrong knowledge means you don't know the truth. Praise God. But when you know the truth, it instantly sets you free. Or it can instantly. It doesn't always instantly set people free, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But sometimes when you know the truth, it just instantly sets you free. I use this example sometimes. You ever been, you know, you're kind of upside down and twisted around under your car or whatever, and you're trying to untighten a nut, and you're working and working and working, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize the truth. Instead of unloosening this thing, I'm tightening it. Because you got it backwards in your mind. So when that truth instantly sets you free, then when you turn it the opposite way you've been turning it, then it, you know, it works. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because now you're doing the right thing. Now you're doing the truth. And so not too long ago, I was trying to log into one of my accounts. Don't you love all the accounts we all have to have and all the different passwords? Oh, my word. I looked up at mine just casually this afternoon. I think I've got close to 60 different ones I need to log into at various times. I mean, you have to log into, you know, to pay your bills or you have to log into your bank account, the insurance companies, your Amazon account, your electric company, the water company, social media, health accounts, all kinds of TV and streaming apps. Every time you get one of those, there's a new, you know, you got to have a username and you got to have a password. And in the beginning days, I just used the same password for every single one of them. But, you know, somebody comes along and says, you've been hacked, you got to change that password. It's like, okay, you know. So you change that password. And so then you have to change passwords. And then as time goes on and the years go by, you know, I've got 4, 5, 6 different passwords. I've got 2 main ones that I just slightly change, you know. Some of them will be dash, you know, number, exclamation point. Some of them will be no dash, number, 2 exclamation points, you know, and all these different things I do to try to make it work. Same exact name, different name, but then dash 74, you know, 1 exclamation point, and I'm trying to get into that stupid account, and I realize, no, this one's got to have 2 exclamation points, and so you have all these things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, usually your username is your email address. You follow me? I mean, it's usually your email address. But I've got 1 or 2 accounts that, for whatever reason, because that's easy to keep up with, is to everybody, because, you know, you've got your email address, but even if somebody has your email address, they can't get into your account because they don't know your 14,000 letter, capital, small letter, some, you know, exclamation. They can't, you know, they don't have your password. So nobody can figure that out. All they can do is see it in print somewhere and steal it that way. But you know, it's just your username. But every once in a while, I've got 2 or 3, I think, that they don't want you to use your email address. So you have to have a different username. Amen. And so I'm trying to log into this particular account of mine and nothing. So I'm going, well, you know, I'm doing the password wrong. So I try every password under the sun that I know, you know, dash, number, exclamation point, no dash, no number, nothing, just the end of the word, dash, exclamation, point, you know, exclamation, different word, exclamation, no exclamation, with exclamation, without exclamation, with dash, without dash, but I can't get through, nothing. And I'll give you a little bit of truth that'll set you free tonight. Banging on the keys doesn't work, you know. Did you know that you can bang on your computer keyboard so hard that you can actually break one of the letters? Ask me how I know.
I know.
Yeah, I actually broke the letter. Jeez. And so Sheila came to our rescue. She said, I got one upstairs, next one. I said, go get it for me. Don't tell nobody. So somehow or another, as I'm trying to get into this account, you know, it's a financial account, and I want to check on my numbers, you know, and my annuities and so forth. And so I realize and remember this particular login doesn't, you know, maybe they gave me a clue in trying to reset passwords and going through that whole process or whatever. But all of a sudden I have an aha moment and I realize this does not use my email address. you know, it uses something else. And so instantly I go, ah, I know what it is. Marcus 74. On that, now you don't know my password, but besides that, if you want to steal my password and pay my electricity bill, just go right ahead, you know. But anyway, so I put that in, and you know what? See, the truth set me free. The truth was that when I put that in, that was the right thing to put in, and it instantly worked. Glory to God. The truth caused me to get results instantly. It worked. Glory to God. Well, that's not only true in the physical realm, that's true in the spiritual realm. I mean, sometimes people struggle, you know, with certain things like divine healing because of the, you know, the body and the symptoms and all the things they're facing. But sometimes a brand new person comes in and you know, I remember this one guy, he's up there and he says, well, we're going to pray for you. He goes, what are you going to pray for me for? He said, well, you just told us. He said, didn't you hear the man? He just said that by his stripes we were healed. So bless God, by his stripes I'm healed. I don't need prayer. I just believe I'm healed. And thank God I am healed. Okay, go back to your seat then. And he's healed. Glory to God. But listen to me. You know, if you actually know what the Bible says and accept what it says, a lot of things to unpack here. Sometimes people don't accept it. Sometimes people don't actually know what the Word of God says. But if you actually know what it says and you have respect for the Word of God and you accept what it says and you want to believe it and you act on it, glory to God, it instantly sets you free. But sometimes, because of religious traditions from the past and what the world says and wrong thinking and past experiences and thoughts of fear and doubt and unbelief that assail your mind, it takes us, not God, sometimes because of these things, it takes us, not God, some time to renew our minds, to get our minds thoroughly renewed, and to fully accept without question, without any doubt, and become fully persuaded to believe what God's Word says. For it's only as we are really know what it says and accept what it says and are fully persuaded of what it says and we speak in line with what it says and act in line with what it said, it's only then are we set free. Glory to God. Even though we may sometimes people acknowledge the truth mentally, but they're not practicing it yet because of all those reasons I just mentioned. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Glory to God. And so there are a lot of things to look at here, but one main reason, and we're going to look at some of these others, but one main reason people who know the truth and are hungry for the truth and readily accept the Bible as the Word of God, but don't believe it and act on it, is because of a very simple principle that we all know, but they are walking by sight and not by faith. Glory to God, especially during a difficult time under the pressure of some storm of life. See, for the truth to set you free, you must walk by faith and not by sight. Anybody ever heard that before? But for the truth to make you free, you must walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Understand that the word sight is representative of all your senses. And of course, your senses feed information to you, and then you put that all together, and then you mentally reason out things. So, you know, our senses, what we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we taste, what we smell, those are our five physical senses. Glory to God. But the Bible is telling us to walk by faith. What does it mean to walk by faith? Well, by faith in God's Word, by faith in God. Well, how are you going to walk by faith in God? You believe what His Word says. So to walk by faith means we believe what God's Word says instead of what our senses. We walk by faith. We walk by what the Word of God says instead of what our senses tell us. Glory to God. And so the Word of God must be, and this is, I think, is one of the biggest foundational problems when it comes to what we call the faith message, is that people really don't start at number one right here. The Word of God must be your final word. It must be your final authority. It must be your last word. It's what you're sold out to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And like I said, this is especially true when it comes to facing some sort of hard time or storm of life, because your senses can and will mislead you. Amen. You know, pilots are taught to be aware of spatial disorientation. spatial, you know, space, spatial disorientation. Another word for spatial and disorientation, probably you're more familiar with, is vertigo. And they have to be careful about vertigo, especially in low visibility conditions. In other words, they have low visibility because they're in a thick fog, because they're in a thick cloud, because there's a storm, because there's thunder, lightning, rain, darkness. All of these things are going on, and so they get disoriented. So here's a pilot in a plane. You know, he's hanging between heaven and earth. You don't have any reference points because you can't see. I mean, you look out of your windshield and all you see is darkness. And the plane's being tilted this way and tilted that way. And you know you're supposed to be going that way. But, you know, your senses can get all fouled up. And so you're making correction. Now, they have instruments, but not all pilots are instrument rated. And sometimes even an instrument rated pilot will believe his senses more than he will believe what his instruments are telling him. Big mistake. Catastrophic results. Death occurs because they do that. And so here's a pilot, and he experiences spatial disorientation or vertigo because of the weather, because of the low visibility conditions, and he's made all kind of corrections. And as far as he's concerned, he's going, you know, he's flying in a straight line, you know, that way. But in reality, that's what his senses are telling him. You've made all these corrections, so you're flying. But in reality, he's made a hard right turn with the nose down, and he is headed toward the ground. And if he doesn't make changes, he will eventually crash into the ground. And that has happened on a regular basis ever since the invention of the airplane. Vertigo. In these conditions, pilots are taught your bodily sensations and feelings can and will mislead you, and you should not trust them. And you should never trust what they call sensory perceptions. You know what sensory perceptions are? Walking by sight. I mean, you look up the definition. Sensory perception is, it's how your brain interprets information received from your five physical senses. What you reason out based on the information that your five physical senses are telling you. Glory to God. In other words, the pilot's Bible says, walk by faith in what your instruments are telling you and trust in them and not by what your senses are telling you. Walk by faith in your instruments and not by sight. If you want to live. Glory to God. Because in low visibility, storm-like conditions, your senses will mislead you and cause you to make decisions that are catastrophic, like I said. I was at Watts Bar. You know, I'm a fisherman, and we like to night fish. And I was younger, and I went night fishing by myself many times, dozens and dozens of times. You know, get there at 6:30, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, and stay till 7 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm out there by myself at Watts Bar, fishing by myself. It's about 1:30 in the morning. I'm taking a break, you know. I'm just drinking coffee and eating like a donut or whatever, probably a honey bun, probably a white iced honey bun. So I'm drinking a cup of coffee, eating my white iced honey bun. I'm driving down the. I'm just kind of just you know I've got the boat in gear, but you know it's not engaged, so it's just barely putting along, just barely moving. And you understand that the Tennessee River, they all have on the lakeside of these dams. And so the lake sides are massive. You know, there's Watts Bar Dam. I'm fishing at Watts Bar. Above Watts Bar is Loudon. Below Watts Bar, right here in our area, you know, is Chickamauga. On the other side of Chickamauga is Nickajack. Well, you know, Watts Bar and Chickamauga and so forth produces, this floods entire, what used to be an entire valley. The Tennessee River is just a small river, hardly as wide as this building. But now when they flooded the valley, so you know, it's 60 foot deep. They flooded homes, they flooded graveyards, they flooded islands, all kind of stuff. And so, and it's a big lake. The lakeside is big. So where I'm at in the middle of that, of Watts Bar, you know, it's 250 yards to the shoreline over here and 250 yards to the shoreline over here, this particular part of the lake I'm at. Well, I noticed the fog started rolling in. And I'm familiar with that. Because you can be on the lake, especially at certain types of year. The lake's real low, and we have a lot of fog in this area anyway, you know. Had those two major accidents, one in the 70s and one about 20 years ago that, you know, killed almost 100 people because of fog. Because fog can get so thick, You know what? You can be in a pitch black night, but you can see light. But fog will make bright lights just disappear. I've been in fog so thick that your visibility was about 5 foot. I mean, you couldn't hardly see the person in the front of the boat. Now, you think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. Well, you're in the middle of the lake. I'm in the middle of the lake, and it's starting to roll. It's not rolling in, but I can see it's starting to roll in. So I thought, you know, if I get my motor up, you know, and turn it up, and I run 50 miles an hour, I'm 10 minutes from where my car is at. And, of course, this is rolling in. I got stuck there one time in a smaller boat many, many years before that. The fog rolled in, and so I'm over on the bank side. But, you know, and so I'm trying to follow the bank, but you get to a point where, you know, they have all kind of creeks that run into the main channel, all kind of sloughs, and some of those sloughs are 200 yards wide. You can't take off when you can't see anything. You'll think, well, it's right over there, but you get out there, and you'll end up going over here. And you don't want to be in the middle of the lake. Just, you know, there's other boats out there that could run over you, barges out there, all kind of things. And so I got stuck out there one night, and I was there till 10:30 the next morning because I couldn't leave. I couldn't see. I've been out there at other times where I could get over to the bank and work my way back. So I'm out there, and all of a sudden I realized, man, I got this thing has rolled in a lot quicker, a lot faster than I thought. I've got to get over here to this shore because the boat ramp is down this way. About 2 miles. I've got to get to this shore. I can get to the shore where you can usually make out the shore and, you know, see the bank and follow that shore, and maybe I can work my way. Sometimes it'll lift a little bit and you can see. Maybe I can work my way back to my car, and if I can, I can. I'll just fish along this bank. And so it rolled in a lot quicker than I thought, and I'm just sitting there as it rolled in. I'd just been drinking coffee and whatever. And my boat had, you know, but you're sitting there consciously and unconsciously making course corrections based on what your senses are telling you. So my boat had obviously drifted kind of this way and drifted more this way. So I turned left to go to the bank, but in reality, I was going toward the other bank. But I didn't know it. And when I got to that, see, if I go to this bank over here to get to my, you know, the boat ramp that's that way, I should turn right. But now I'm going to the other bank. So when I get to the bank and I turn right, not only am I on the wrong bank, but when I take my right turn, I'm going away from the boat ramp. I'm going the opposite way. And so I putted along there and just kind of tooled along. You can't see nothing. I can just barely see the bank. And after about an hour, I said, I don't recognize any of this, man. I know where I was at. I mean, I'm disoriented, to say the least. And, you know, so I finally begin to think, well, maybe I'm going, I thought I'm on the other bank, but I turned the wrong way. So I turned around and started coming back that way. And another 45 minutes goes by. And all of a sudden, some wind comes up or something, and it blows a little bit of the fog out, about 40% of the fog out. So there's patches and patches, but clear spots. And I look through a clear spot, and I realize I'm on the wrong bank. I'm not even on the bank I thought I was on. And I was going the wrong way. And now I can see, you know, I'm supposed to be on that bank, and there's just enough opening for me to go through that hole, that little opening, and work my way over to that bank and get to my car so that I can go home and not be lost in that fog. Well, then that was all because I listened to my senses, because I don't have any instrumentation that tells me differently. And so it's just weird to be that lost in space. But it can happen. I said it can happen. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm on the land. I'm on water, but I'm on the land. In other words, I'm not up in the air. I mean, you can only go forward, backwards, right, or left. But if you're up in a plane, not only can you go that way, forward or backwards or right or left, you can go up or down. And you're up there hanging in a little bitty plane, even if it's a big plane, just a small little dot. And it's raining and it's windy and your plane's being jerked around and maybe it's snowing and maybe you're in fog, maybe you're in thick clouds. Your senses can tell you that your wings are like this. But in reality, they're the opposite of that. And so when you make a correction, then you understand how you can get in trouble in a hurry? I said you can get in trouble in a hurry. And so many pilots have crash because of vertigo or spatial disorientation because their sensory perception told them to turn this way or turn this way or climb this way or descend this way when they should have been doing the exact opposite of what they were doing. 10% of aviation accidents, of all aviation accidents, 10% are caused by vertigo. 90% of those are fatal. In other words, the pilot and whoever else is on that plane dies, whether it's him and two people or him and 20 people, you know. In other words, the pilot becomes so convinced because of what his senses tell him or her that they are doing the right thing, they believe it. But it's not the truth. If you don't believe the truth, you won't do the right thing. If you don't believe the truth, you won't be set free. If you don't believe the truth, you won't receive the promises. If you won't believe the truth, you won't do the right thing about your finances, about the right thing about being a husband, or the right thing about being a wife. You probably know the song, you know, American Pie. Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Come on, everybody knows that, right? You know, it has that one song in it, you know, The Day the Music Died. You're out there saying, yeah, there you go. The day the music died. And everybody says that that refers to the day in 1959 when Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens and J.P. Richardson and the pilot were killed in a plane crash. Buddy Holly, you know, that's the big, you know, Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue, my Peggy Sue. A little before my time, but just 5 or 6 years. And then Ritchie Valens, la 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 bamba. J.P. Richardson was known as the big, better known as the Big Bopper. He was a rocker himself and wrote some and folk songs, sang songs, and was a DJ. He wrote George Jones, one of the most famous country music singers in our lifetime. George Jones' first number one hit, "White Lightning," was written by the Big Bopper. Well, you see, they were on this tour. I forgot. It was something like 30 days. They were in like 30 different cities, 30 different nights. You know, very demanding schedule. They'd been riding the bus. They had a bunch of other people with them, but these guys were the headliners, and they're kind of famous, and they don't want to take the bus anymore, so they hire, I think it was Buddy Holly that hired this private plane just to get them there so they'll get there a lot faster, but the weather's very threatening. Well, how many people have crashed when they went up in threatening weather? Plus, their pilot is not an amateur, but he is not qualified yet to fly in bad weather. He's working on it, but he's not quite there yet. So he gets up. The weather's terrible. The conditions worsen. They're flying in heavy, heavy, heavy snow. Glory to God. And forensics showed that the aircraft was in a steep right-hand bank that went straight into the ground. And they said that undoubtedly this was a result of pilot vertigo. In other words, the pilot probably never saw it come. He thought he was flying straight and going the right way, but he had made all kind of corrections to that plane in this heavy weather, and he probably never even knew he was crashing. I mean, they were just instantly killed because he just flew the plane into the ground thinking he was flying the right way because he listened to his senses and wasn't trained enough yet to rely on and trust on the instruments that would have told him, don't do that. Don't do that. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. And, you know, Patsy Cline and all those who died when she was killed. Forensics showed it was due to pilot vertigo. And you can go on and on and on. Somebody says, geez, I don't even want to fly then. I mean, these pilots, I mean, what's a pilot supposed to do? I don't ever want to fly. How does he overcome this situation so it doesn't happen to him? Well, a pilot has to become what's called instrument rated. And other than just a casual guy that just gets his first pilot's license, you know, if you're gonna do any commercial flying, if you're gonna fly anything halfway serious, certainly if you're gonna be a commercial pilot or fly like Brother Copeland flies and so forth, all those, any kind of bigger plane, you have to be instrument rated. Because you see, those instruments tell you the truth, even though you're in bad weather. You know, those instruments, you know, they tell you airspeed, they tell you direction, they tell you attitude, they tell you altimeter, they have all kind of gyroscopes in them so that you know that the plane is level, so that you know that it's flying level, so that even though your head, based on what your senses are telling you that you're flying the wrong way, You know, and they're trained. Well, they're told, don't you listen to your senses. Don't be fooled by that. Because even experienced pilots have listened to their senses at times instead of listening to those instruments. But they go, I feel like I'm flying to the right. But my plane says, my senses right here tell me my wings are level. I'm going in the right direction. And if I do what my senses tell me and turn to the right, there's a mountain over there that you're going to run into and kill yourself. So every day, pilots, because they have airspeed, because they have gyroscopes that tell them all these different things that they need to know, that show them they're going in the right direction, that show them that they're not descending when they're not supposed to be descending, that show them they're not climbing when they're not supposed to be climbing, that show them they're going, that they're missing hazards and so forth. Every day, pilots depend on those instruments and inclement weather thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times of day without any incidents whatsoever. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Amen. The plane flies like it's supposed to fly. You know, in a bass boat, I was in that bass boat when I was lost at sea. And today, bass boats have a depth finder. That tells you how deep the water is. You know, and it also shows you, it's a radar system, and it has blips on it, and you can make it show like an igfoos, and that's the fish. So I say, oh, I'm over here. I'm trying to find. I know off this point over here, there's a hump out there, and I want to. So I'm going up from 25 foot up to 5 foot. I want to back off so I can throw right on top of that 5 foot. And I went over it real slow, and I could see there were fish on it, so I can fish that. Now it's a lot more sophisticated today than when I first started fishing. They have a thing now they call live scope. It's like you're looking at a TV, and you can see limbs and tree limbs, and you see the fish swimming. And when you throw your line out, you see your line go down. And you sit there and you make your line jump in front of the fish that you're trying to catch. Some people think that's cheating. That's live scope. You know, but after that time I was fishing, I guess they had come out with them, but I'd never been in a boat with them. They came up with a navigation systems in our boats. The first time I was ever in one, I was fishing with Junior Bryant right there, Harold Bryant Jr. And this navigation system, you know, it knows the lake and it plots your course. So you can be in fog so thick you can't see 3 foot in front of you. But as long as you can see your screen, you know, it's just a line there, and it has a little boat looking symbol there, and you just drive on that line, and you can drive like a maniac. Because you got to understand, when you're fishing a place like the Tennessee River, then these flooded lakes, there's islands right in the middle of the water. There's buoys everywhere. You don't want to run into one of them suckers. You know, so even at night when you can see good, you know, I got my light going. I'm flashing it around and trying to spot, you know, because it reflect off that buoy. There's places on the Tennessee River where you're in 60 foot of water, but just right over there, 10 foot, it's 2 foot. And you can't tell the difference. You know, it's like snow covers the ground 5 foot. You don't know where the road is and where the ditch is. It's like that on the lake. There's places where there's an island, you go around the left side, because if you go around the right side, it's super, super shallow with trees standing there from where they flooded it, and you'll run into one and tear everything up or get injured. But this navigation system, you just plug in because like when I go fishing at Watts Bar, I can put in at Uchi, I can put in the dam, I can put in at Fuchi, I can put in at Blue Springs, I can put in at Bayside. And so, but you can just put in the exact spot you came, and no matter how bad, how low the visibility it is, you just follow that line, and it'll take you exact. It'll miss this buoy and go around that island the right way, and miss this place where the water's real low. And sometimes there's jetties that run off the shore, rock. You know, it's an old roadbed's what it is, and you don't want to run over that; it'll tear your motor up. But it'll take you right around that and just guide you right around to here, and you can't see a thing. So I'm fishing with Harold, and he's showing me that thing. And I said, man, this is really cool. So he takes off, and we start doing about 40, 45 miles an hour, maybe 50 miles an hour, going back to the boat ramp. And I thought, this is really cool. But then I had this thought, hey, Junior, what if somebody else is following their line and we don't see each other? And so we had to learn that even though you had those plot charters, you know, you had to slow down and pay attention and not, you know, because somebody, you don't want to run into somebody out there. That's why all boats, by law, you have to have a horn or you have to have a whistle, because you get out there and you can't see and you don't know where the shore is at. Like I was in that little bitty boat the first time that happened to me, and all of a sudden I hear some barge. You'd start blowing that whistle like a maniac, you know, because they're going to run over you if they don't, because they don't see you. Amen. Glory to God. Now, hallelujah. Glory to God. My brother Gary. You know, my brother, you know, he comes here every once in a while, moved up here to watch the bar, actually. Well, he and Judy had a condo in Panama City. And so about 4 years ago, he gets up at like at 3:30 in the morning because it's the first day of red snapper season. And so he wants to be that sometimes that you can try to catch your bait, you know, the minnows, that they type of minnows that they fish, long minnow things you fish with. But the good ones, you know, they sell, and because you may not be able to find any, and you may... And they'll run out. So he got out there real early there's just a boat out there sitting in the middle of the lake, and he buys his minnows, and he takes off going toward the ocean, you know, because he lives on a condo that's on the river, in essence, the intercoastal waterway, and you go out there about 5 miles, and you get to the ocean. And right before you get to the ocean, you go through the jetties. Well, in the daytime, when you're going through those jetties, you know, there's jetties on one side, jetties on the left side, it's only 200 yards across, and sometimes there's 50 boats coming and going. Well, you see each other, and you're missing each other, and you go out there. And then when you get to the ocean, you open it, you know, then it kind of opens up, expands tremendously. But it's dark, and he can't hardly see, and he's just putting along. And so he gets beyond the jetties, and he's about to, you know, engage his boat and really take off. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes a boat out of the darkness, and they run into each other. Fortunately, it wasn't a head-on hit. They glanced off each other. Of course, he had this brand new trolling motor thing on the end. It ripped it off into the ocean, worth about $3,000, did several thousand dollars of damage to his boat, several thousand dollars of damage to the other boat. His face hit the steering wheel. He was all bruised up, went to the emergency room, and they let him go home. But I said, man, Gary, be thankful, man. Everybody could have died. Everybody could have died. Glory to God. So, listen. Pilots become instrument-rated, and he is warned and taught and drilled into him, you fly by those instruments. You trust those instruments. Do not trust your sensory perception. Do not trust sight. Do not trust your feelings. Do not depend on those things, because if you do, you're liable to crash and kill yourself and kill others. So they fly by the instruments and not by sight, because those instruments are telling them the truth. And when they fly by the truth, when they fly by those instruments, they fly safely through all kinds of storm. And so pilots, like I said, do this all over the world without incident. Glory to God. What we need in the body of Christ is instrument-rated Christians. We need Christians that fly by the instrument of God's word and not by their senses. When you know the truth, what is truth? What the Word of God says is truth. And the truth is right. And the truth is pure. And the truth will set you on the right course. And the truth will cause you to receive the promises of God. But you have to be a word-rated Christian, glory to God, and not follow your senses. Glory to God, because your senses and feelings will cause you to doubt God's word, especially in the pressure of a storm. Amen. They fly by the instrument. We should fly by the instrument panel of God's word. Glory to God. In other words, we should walk by faith and not by sight. Because God's word, his truth, what he says is always right. Glory to God. Amen. The word will stabilize your emotions in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. So don't panic in the storm. Just walk by faith. Keep your eyes on the Word of God. Keep looking at it. Your senses will give you false readings. Your senses will tell you to be in fear, but the Word of God will tell you not to be in fear. Your senses will tell you to talk this way, but the Word of God say talk this way. Your senses will say tell you run over here and do this and get help. Your senses will say no, just keep trusting in God and believe God's Word. So we have to fly by the instrument of God's Word. Hallelujah. Look away from what your senses, look away. Away from what your senses will tell you, and look into the truth of God's word, the panel of God's word. For it always tells you the truth that will be right and cause you to overcome. Emotions and feelings can mislead you. They fluctuate and change. Have your emotions ever changed on you? Amen? But the word never changes. The word is utterly, completely dependable, and it's the truth that always makes you free and always sets you free. So Smith Wigglesworth, we talk a lot about Smith Wigglesworth. One of the big things about Smith Wigglesworth, one of the things he emphasized to people was, I cannot help people if I am looking at their condition. It will bring me down. It will cause me to doubt. It will cause me to get in fear. So I never look at a person's condition. I never get into pity. I have compassion, but I never just get into pity. I don't look at any of that. I just look totally at Jesus and what His Word says. That keeps me in faith so I can speak the Word of God with authority. And by the way, He said that doesn't mean that you shout and yell and scream. He said shouting and yelling and screaming in and of itself doesn't mean you have authority. Now, because you have authority, you might say something forcefully and strong. But you speak the Word of God with authority. And He said, I get results because my eyes are on the truth. My eyes are on the Word and not on what I can see. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we're going to fly by the instruments, the instrument of God's Word. Glory to God. Let's stand up together. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I might need me one of them live scopes where I can just see where the fish is and go, here you go. So if you watch a fishing tournament on TV today, people go, I don't want to watch that. It's like watching somebody play a video game. Yeah. Glory to God. Aren't you thankful for God's Word?
Yes.
Aren't you thankful that it's the truth?
See,
so that's why you always say, well, what does the Word? What does the Word say about my marriage? What does the Word say about my finances? What does the Word say about this situation? What does the Word say about this attitude? What does the Word say? So that solves all the issues of life for me. I just want to do what the Word tells me to do. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We love you. Praise God. Have a good week. And walk by faith and not by sight. You're dismissed. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.